took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, greetings. This is Pastor David, and I'm with my good buddy,
Pastor Barry.
Yeah, and this is Glorious Day, and it's wonderful to be back with you.
Oh, yeah.
I want to thank Brother Tim in Jensen Beach.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, Tim. You sent me a nice little card with a help me remind that I do have senior moments, and in one of our broadcasts, I know Barry doesn't, but he's learning from me.
Oh, no.
I had forgotten. I was referencing the fivefold ministry of the church, and I couldn't remember at least one of the ministries. And I used to be, if you'd asked me, I'd tick them off, you know, in my sleep.
Uh-huh.
But because whatever was going on, I had a senior moment. And I thank you, Brother Tim, for pointing that out. So we decided that we would do our first program tonight, rather, on mm-hmm. taking a look at the fivefold ministries of the church. And we have the scripture from which that comes in Ephesians. Ben Barry's going to read that. And then we're both going to just talk about what does the fivefold ministries mean to the church? Why mm-hmm. does God set apart people to do that? And we're just going to see ultimately where the Spirit leads us. So having said that, Barry, would you read... quote the scripture and read from it, please. Where is that coming from?
Yes, Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen and hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. These are, all the scriptures powerful. And particularly in what we're talking about the church, how God makes up the church,
mm-hmm.
His intentions for the church. And there's a lot in here, and we know in the 27 minutes there, that give or take that we have, we're not going to cover all that ground.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's something we missed or that you missed or you think we missed, you can reach us via email. And that email address is gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. That's gloriousdayradio@outlook.com, and I check that on a regular basis. No one has written us yet, Barry.
Not yet.
But you know, as people start getting questions to know what they can, we'd like to hear from you.
Well, sure. We whether it be an idea, it could be an idea for a new series of programs.
Sure.
Criticism or questions, just anything you want to communicate with. We're here, and we do check that, right, David?
We absolutely do, and we would love to hear from you, whatever. You know, even if you disagree with us, I mean, come on, we're Christian folk here. We can handle a little disagreement.
Yes, we can.
You know.
We're big boys.
We're big boys. We've been around the block so many times. But back to the fivefold ministries of the church, to talk about this is to recognize just how much God has in his perfect planning has created the perfect structure for the body of Christ. And the roles, there are five specific roles that are critical mm-hmm. to the functioning of the church. Now, someone will say, the church, what are you talking about? Talking about the church, the worldwide thing, and or each individual congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to let Barry field that question.
Well, the church is not that brick-and-mortar building that's ever so beautiful with the stained glass windows that light up at night.
Yes.
It is the body of Christ is the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Your brothers, your sisters.
That's right.
The newbies, the seasoned.
Yeah, all together.
It's all together, which brings up several points here that if you're a mature Christian, you've been around the block 2 or 10 or 1,000 times, the urging of the Holy Spirit in you to educate, I would call them the Christian children, even if they're an adult,
yes,
is ever so important. And you have the wisdom, the Christian wisdom, to pass it on without compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a background in medicine. And for anybody who's been in nursing school, medical school, there's a method of teaching. And it's learn one, do one, teach one.
Mm.
And you are encouraged greatly by your professors to not only learn one and do one, but to teach one and teach it as often as possible the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes along with this, that you know, if something sounds funny and you're sitting with a group of brand new Christians and it just is not settling right, that maybe someone went way off the path and creating a new theology, so to speak.
Yes.
Because they don't have the fully formed foundation yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Of being a Christian. We are behooved to step in and do a course correction for them out of love.
Amen.
And out of the sense of the fact that, I don't know about you, David, but I got maybe 20 more years on this planet, maybe less, could be going
possibly
tomorrow. And I have a sense of urgency in me to share the truth and also to teach.
Mm.
To
yes.
teach, not just preach, but teach. They should be done together, by the way. But
yes.
I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that, because throughout my ordained ministry, which, by the way, yesterday, now for us, yesterday was the 15th of June, 2022.
Right.
I celebrated 37 years of ordained ministry.
Congratulations.
And I do celebrate that. Although I look back and I see where, you know, some days I was great with the Lord, you know, and I was right on top of things because I was with him, and some days I decided to do my own thing.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty much human beings, you know. And,
well, sure.
But one of the things that I have done over the years as the Lord has led is when I was in congregational ministry,
mm-hmm.
was to always be focused on teaching
mm-hmm.
the people. And this is, and as a, talk about fivefold ministries, I mean, I had the pastoral role,
mm-hmm.
so I was a pastor. Now, someone will say then, you know, I don't mean to digress, but I guess I'm going to anyway, is that can one person have more than one calling in this uh-huh. regard? And I think it's possible, although every church should have a good representation of these callings where everybody is focusing primarily on whether they're an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a shepherd, or a teacher, a mm-hmm. shepherd or a pastor, the same thing. They all have different roles, but they all come together to be that one powerful leadership.
There's the word.
Leadership.
Mm-hmm.
That in every church, the church needs that leadership when it all comes together. And probably at another session down the road, we'll maybe unpack just what that leadership, what leadership looks like. But right now, we know that this is the fivefold ministry of the church is both, I think, to be manifested in the individual congregation and also in the larger church.
Well, that's absolutely true. And, you know, I've actually heard it myself out there, David, where people will declare that they've got all of these on board.
Yeah.
And that makes the little red flag pop up in my brain. Because if you're truly praying to the Holy Spirit and asking him, okay, well, what am I?
Yeah.
Talk to me. Tell me what I am. And you're praying with a sincere heart, you will get your answer. But if you're just going to go about saying, well, I do all of that, because we're shorthanded anyway, right? So
yeah,
I'm an evangelist, but you know, I've got some prophecy going, and that's not what this is all about. That almost sounds a little bit prideful.
It can be. I mean, it depends on how you perceive
sure,
it. But yeah,
sure.
It could be. And certainly the church is not exempt from having various types of sins represented by its members. You know, I mean,
well,
that's
sure.
Unfortunately, we're still human and all of that. But, you know, and the other thing to mention is that the state of the church today may or may not, and I'm going to say it probably does not reflect the church as Jesus founded it and how as it became during the time after his ascension and,
right.
You know, as it grew and developed and expanded into the known world mm-hmm. at that time. Much more, I think, in a much more representative of what the Word of God says, much more led by the Holy Spirit, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So that each congregation represented the structures that God wanted to be present
right.
in those. And talking about the fivefold ministries, and Paul, keep in mind, Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus about what their church should look like,
mm-hmm.
what God would want to do, the Holy Spirit would want to do as it came alongside that church to bless them and guide them in the proper way for them to be the church he intended them to be. And especially considering that this church consisted of evangelized Jews and pagans, probably mostly pagans, maybe not so many Jews, but
right.
there were some of those. And so this was all new for them too. This is going to be another aside. This may be a whole new program, Barry, but just came
I'll keep
to
up
me.
With you.
I know. But I'm listening for our listeners to think. You know, if you've listened to us any at all, you know that we have a heart for what God is doing to raise up his church today mm-hmm. because we know if we look at what we see right now in the church, I'm just going to say in America because I really don't have much experience beyond America.
Okay.
And we compare it to the church of the New Testament, which is, I'm just going to say to you, an ideal model of what the church should be, it fails in the comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Because
oh, yeah.
I don't see a lot of Holy Spirit passion for ministry. I don't see, for instance, we're going to talk more about this in the next section, but I don't see the churches looking to the Holy Spirit to guide them. So if you're part of a church that does that, great. I'm not talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about what I see in the larger church in America, taking into account all the visible expressions of Christianity, and at least say the mainstream churches,
mm-hmm.
which make up the bulk of the churches in America. But so when you get to Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, we're going to make a special effort next session, next program, to
right.
talk about just those two verses. But the speaking the truth in love. See, Paul is giving the church in Ephesus, and really, let's face it, he taught this in every church. This just happens to be in the content of the letter he sent to the Ephesian church,
mm-hmm.
That this was Paul's spiritual revelation from God about how you do church, how you build the community of faith, the body of Christ, how you're seen in the world by virtue of what you're doing in the Spirit,
right?
And essentially, identity, church, Christian identity. This makes you who you are.
I think part of the crux of this letter that he sent to them too was the fact that his alarms were going off because these were new Christians.
Yeah.
And you know, Satan didn't sit on his hands
no.
while the church was
no.
being put together piece by piece. And he got into the church with human cunning, craftiness, and deceitful schemes. That doesn't sound like the Holy Spirit to me.
No, no.
That sounds
no.
like Satan's in there and he's planting his little time bombs in everybody. And you mentioned before that there could be pagans in there,
mm-hmm.
so they bring some of their culture with them.
Right.
So some of the lies of Satan, crafted in a way, sounded pretty reasonable. Well, you know, we're going to bring this into the church because it was always good for us,
yeah.
you know, and we felt more fulfilled when we did it this way.
Yeah.
We were praying to that stick of wood over there or that oak tree mm-hmm. over there, whatever they were praying to. And that's not from just 2,000 years ago, David. This is still going on.
Oh, Yeah, it's one of the most common human things.
They want to embellish and they want to improve Christianity. You know, the new and improved, right?
Or the traditions I enjoyed before I met Christ, I kind of want to keep.
Yeah.
You know, now, and against that, now see, and the church, the role of the church, knowing that people come to us, and today it's, it's a little different because a lot of sheep shifting's going on where, you know, I'm a Presbyterian today, but tomorrow I'm going to be a Methodist, or I'm going to be a Foursquare Pentecostal, or I'm going to, you know, do something. And I'm not mentioning those denominations in a negative way, but I'm just saying that sheep, us, the pew, the people that live in the pews out there that go from church to church, I think in great part, this is me talking now, but I think because there's something missing in a lot of the churches in America. And people are looking for it, but they may not often know what it is because nobody told them.
Well, perhaps they walked out of the church and they're still spiritually hungry.
And I think that's a good point. Spiritually hungry. Exactly. They weren't fed that day. And more so, their spirit's starving.
And that goes back to sharing the Word of God unchanged.
Right, exactly.
Because the Word of God will feed you.
Yes.
But it's got to be distributed from those who are managing the church.
Exactly.
In a way that... you know, again, I know we're not ready for this next program of speaking the truth in love, but when you do that, uncompromised, unchanged, they will be fed. Now, I'm not saying they're going to be happy all the time hearing that some of their favorite pastimes are sin.
Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We gotta.
We gotta talk about that. Yeah.
We gotta talk about that.
But you know, I tell you what, if you're not being spiritually fed, and I'm not trying to stir things up, but we need to be spiritually fed, because if you're not, you're spiritually malnourished.
Right.
And guess who comes along whistling, rubbing his hands together? Oh, there's one over there. He looks spiritually anemic.
Yeah.
I'll go after him.
Always Satan goes after the weak.
The weak. It's just like a wolf.
Yeah.
They're going to go for the weak one that's limping in the very periphery of the rest of the sheep. And so if you're not being spiritually fed, it also behooves you to make the decision.
Amen.
And be committed to the fact that, you know what, I'm not being spiritually fed. Talk to the Holy Spirit. He's waiting.
Yes.
He's there to guide you.
But while you're doing that, and I think getting back to why we're talking about the fivefold ministry of the church is because, what does Paul say about that? At the end of verse 12, he says, when he mentions all of those, well, it's verse 12, he says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ.
Amen.
Until, and then verse 13, until we all to attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Wow.
That's Christian. So these ministries are important. Now, so we're going to kind of jump on this, kind of unpack that, and what do they do? You know, because there are several things, several bullet points we wanted to cover. But I want to say, some people will say, and they've said it to me, I know, and they probably said it to you, Barry, is that, well, you know, I don't go to church anymore because I got kind of wounded there, but I go out in the woods, or I go play golf, or I do something, I go fishing, and I'm there with God, and, you know, that's my church. Now, I would say, first of all, I personally love nature.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I do some hiking, and I do other stuff, and that's great. And yes, when I'm out there in nature, I can really appreciate what God has done, but that's not church, and it never will be church. Church by... Now, if you've had bad experiences, all right, I understand that. There are some churches that don't, they're not God-honoring. Mm-hmm. They're for themselves honoring. And you've got to then make a decision. Either you're going to stay there and pray that church, if God calls you to do it, pray them into unity with Christ, and pray for the emergence of the fivefold ministries in that body, or you're going to go someplace else. But you are not going, I'm telling you, I'm speaking to dad, like a dad to a child.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to just say your church is in nature, because that's not the way God intended it to be.
No. And, you know, if you're by yourself, we all are gifted with an imagination.
Oh, yeah.
We're all subjective in our lives. And so we tend to create our own theology sometimes. If no one's around to correct you.
Right, yeah.
And my friends, your fellow Christians, if they start to go way off course and they're starting to really sound a little funky in what they're talking about, and then, like David just said, well, they don't go to church. They just talk to God on their own. Well, we should talk to God. We should pray continuously.
Right.
However, there's that old expression, you know, iron sharpens iron, and
yes,
and it keeps you, hey, just like this letter and all these letters from Paul, trying to keep everybody going the same direction.
Exactly. Focused.
Right. You know,
on the calling of God, on the one,
the
God,
narrow, the narrow gate.
Isn't it though what Jesus said? You know, not the wide road.
No.
That's the road to perdition, to destruction.
Right.
But the narrow one. Well, okay, so we have these five ministries, and you know, all we've said, and Barry had pointed out on a couple of occasions how dangerous it is to be untaught or to be poorly taught, to make up your own theology, which a lot of people do, unfortunately. Well, God gave these five fold ministries to the church to ensure that when they are all active, functioning, and spirit-filled, and in union with each other and God in their ministries, that the church that is a part of them, that is formed around them, will be well focused also on the gospel, on preaching the gospel, on the ministry and mission of the church in the world, no matter what the age is. So today, I believe there are churches like this, and more churches are coming. It's going to be a shaking for the traditional, you know, churches that have sort of drawn, they've circled the wagons, and they're looking inward and not outward, and they're trying to survive, but they're not asking, they're not listening to the Lord. So these five, I want to share some of the bullet points that I put on our little list here for Barry and I to pull from. And Barry, you go to kind of pull those up too. There's several points. One is, and the biggest one, and Paul says it here, and we just read it, is to equip the believers for works of service. That these, the fivefold ministry, again, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds or pastors, and teachers. Those five roles will ensure that the church is filled with good teaching, proper direction,
amen,
excellent discipleship.
Right.
Because those people under these ministries are going to be bringing in other people.
Well, you know, in my little nursing home life where I have church services for the elderly, and I tell them at the end of every service, I'm not here all the time. I do have a house. I do go home. You are here. This is not the church of Barry. It's God's church. So you need to be equipped to evangelize, to go out and prepare others for the coming of Christ.
Right.
And, you know, they're 90 years old, David, or 95.
Yeah.
But you know what? They're mature Christians. They get it.
Yeah.
They've
yeah.
been there and done it. And when I talk about the modern church, or maybe the fact that the church is so divided, there's no, you don't see the unity that we pray we that we could see in our lifetime. They talk about that all the time. Because when you get a little bit older and you get closer and closer to going home to the Lord, you begin to realize it's all about Jesus. It's Christ-centered, Bible-based.
Yes.
And all the rest of it is religion.
Right.
And they will go out and evangelize. I'm proud of my people, David. They are educated. They're equipped. They're ready to roll. And they go out and they evangelize nurses, other family members that come in, their own doctors when they come in. When they go in that building, you're going to hear about Christ.
Amen.
And I just love it because anybody out there who's a seasoned citizen, David and I are seasoned citizens, you know, don't ever say, oh, well, let the young people do this. And, you know, we know about this, but we're tired. And
No. You can't.
You have a responsibility, my friend.
Amen.
The next one here is building up the body of believers in growth and maturity. I've been to churches where there was no growth. They stayed static, the same.
Yes.
And you didn't see a maturing process going on.
And unfortunately, that's sort of, there's a flat line in a lot of churches because
they're not listening
to the Lord.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're weak as Christians because they haven't grown up yet.
And then the next point, which is kind of links to that, is that the fivefold ministry creates unity of faith in the church. Also increasing knowledge about God, Jesus, and the kingdom. That these five ministries especially, led by the Spirit, passionately express to the people of God the things that are necessary for Christian life and growth.
Right.
And, you know, they're hungry for God. You're hungry for God. That's a powerful hunger. And faith maturity comes from that. Then, you know, part of that, strong believers who are secure in their faith, you know, these, what does a church do if it's really empowered by the Spirit? It's like a cell, right?
Right.
It, in the human body, when a cell, it grows, it develops, it then it, with that mitosis happens where another cell is created.
Mm-hmm.
So the churches grew. One strong church with people that were led by the Spirit, and these fivefold ministries were able to work together to strengthen the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
get people focused and excited about ministry, and then right. they went off, they started other churches. Now people say, well, there's already, you know, 17 billion churches in America alone. That's not true, of course, I'm exaggerating. But the point is, you know, if God wants more churches, he's going to get them.
Sure.
And I think what he's going to want is more churches that are doing what he wants the church to do.
Yeah, you bottom line all that. There's something called being a church apologist, a Christian apologist.
Yeah.
We can do a whole program or two or ten on that one. But if you don't have the maturity of faith, it's very difficult to be an apologist for the faith yeah. if you're not equipped, if
right.
you don't have the knowledge base, if you don't have the experience, if you're not spiritually fed. It's just not going
to
work.
And we need to define that an apologist in this context is not someone that says, oh, I'm so sorry about the church. Oh, dear, please forgive. No. Apologist in that sense is someone who can clearly express, explain, and define the nature of the church, the
Amen.
Nature of God. You know, he's a good, strong, focused theologian who will go to... In fact, every evangelist should be and often is an apologist, because when you run into an unbeliever,
oh yeah,
and they have all these things against that they've made up, of course, because it's really not true, but
yeah.
the apologist will then advise right. and educate
mm-hmm.
those people. Now, they may walk away deciding they don't want to hear the truth, but the point is, that's what an apologist is, what Barry was talking about.
Thank you. Thank you for explaining that, David.
Well, you know, so many people that are not particularly schooled in some of these words that we use in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Think of an apology as, you know, I did wrong and I'm sorry.
Right, right.
Now, that is an apology, but that's not what the actual root word of the word apology. Now, Brother Tim may know the Greek, and I don't. And you may write to me, my brother, and you're certainly welcome to. But it's more, but it has to do with teaching in a way. When you apologize, you're explaining something.
Right. It's a course correction coming from a knowledge base.
Absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of course corrections,
we
are about ready to run on the rocks of time running out.
This Very ship good, sir.
Estate. So we've covered a lot of ground, but a lot of ground you're going to say, why didn't they say this? Well, because we only have 27 minutes and some seconds.
Well, yeah.
And we have to use that and then maybe come back next time. Or you might give us a suggestion. We can do a program on it.
I would love to do that.
Yeah. Anyway, God bless you. We're going to have to say goodbye for now.
Goodbye for now, but not forever.
Amen. Well, forever we'll see you in the kingdom, God willing.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Into your marvelous light.